welcome everybody to the Dad Survival Guide podcast. I'm Joe Sanfilippo.
I am Raymond Pratt.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. Today we're going to talk about heading into late spring, then summer, how we're going to keep the wheels from falling off at home with the kids. Or have the wheels already fallen off?
Right.
Who can help you guys keep the kids accountable? Some ideas for how to keep the kids motivated. And then we're going to talk about the potential meat shortage. Is it going to affect you? How it would affect you? If you have boys, I think it's going to affect you more. We're also going to talk about how to stay active and not gaining 40 pounds while you're in quarantine. And I'm going to defer mostly to Ray on that because he and his ex-wife are maniacs when it comes to fitness. And then we're going to talk about the top five places you can drive, because I don't know how many of us are going to want to hop on an airplane anytime soon. So top five places you can take your family on a driving vacation. All right, so let's get into it. We're heading into late spring, then eventually summer. How are we keeping the wheels from falling off at home with the kids? Ray, how's it holding up in your house?
It took a turn an amazing turn for the better with the weather turning. We've got like 7-degree weather. It's perfect. It's sunny. So now we're outside. So it's gotten a lot easier to keep them from killing each other and from jumping on stuff and breaking things and just driving me batshit crazy. So now we're doing hikes, walks, bike rides. My neighbors have cleaned out their pools. So the pool is open. Summer is in full-blown session right now over here. How about
nice.
You?
Nice. We have noticed a distinct slackening in the kids' attitude toward fucking everything. Yeah. Over here in the old Flippo house. And I think that's probably reflective of my wife and I also. It has been interesting to me to learn how much of like the day-to-day cleaning, showering, upkeep in general, for us has been in relation to people outside our family seeing it. It turns out you need to have people over to the Flippo's house for us to maintain our shit. That's just how we're wired. So it's been like that was kind of jarring. Like no party, nobody coming over. Well, we don't need to fucking clean that. So I'm trying to turn the corner on that. But I found that we need like an outside force to keep us motivated. So I mean that is like we're having people over, or the kids are interacting with somebody. So if your family's like mine, and that's kind of what motivates you and your kids, I found some things that kind of have worked out for the kids, teachers and friends and grades. Basically they need accountability. And I think that when it comes to school, like you need to have someone with a high enough standard for your kids that they're not going to let your kids get away with anything. Does that make sense?
The thing, you need your kids to have someone who they respect. So you're basically saying your kids don't respect you.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Maybe.
You're going down that path. And I see it. No. I mean, you're not alone there. Like the showering is definitely, I mean, I misunderstood because I was thinking like, we're talking about like sanity as summer's coming, but oh yeah, the showers, the teeth brushing, school is pretty much, they've gone all fuck all with school. It's getting, because before we were pretty stout about like, okay, you get up, here's your routine, you do this, schoolwork, then you get the rest of the day. And now I've noticed that we head into tomorrow's Mother's Day. So we're going to be heading into week 7. Week six was rough because they would get up at like 8:30, 9 o'clock, which is when they're already supposed to be starting school. They'd kick around for a little bit, fight with me about brushing their teeth, getting their stuff cleaned up. And then they would dive into reading, and then they would start the schoolwork, and then we're getting done by like about 12:30, 1 o'clock. So they have definitely fallen off, and that's probably our mom and dad.
Well, I feel like I said, for us, we need the outside force on acting on the kids. And I think I know you guys are a lot more self-motivated as far as discipline goes. You and Jenny have a very tight, like you guys run a pretty tight ship like that. Aaron and I are naturally pretty chill about that kind of stuff. So we find that we have to have an outside force kind of acting on us and on the kids. So for that, I mean, the teachers obviously will expect more from your kids than you will. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of like the benefit of teachers in general. Like your kids are like, oh, I can't do this. You know, for us, we're like, oh, maybe it's fucked up. Teachers are like, no, it's just fine. They're fine.
They're fine.
They're fine. Don't let them hose you. The other thing that I think is great is coaches. If your kids are involved in any kind of organized sport, whatever it is, and Ray, you and I have talked about this a million times, you know, I'm a huge advocate of going all the way with whatever organized sport you're going to do. So if you have access to a coach, and you know, let's say it's, you know, for us, it's dance because we have that. We're, you know, that's a business we're in. So everything's gone online, but I love that there's a dance teacher who is on a Zoom meeting watching the kids. And if the kid's half-assing it, like, hey, yay, call them out right there. Boom, it's done. And it gives them someone to try and impress. But if you don't have that, but let's say your kids play ball, let's play baseball or football or basketball. Obviously, you can't get together with the coach too much, but you could definitely set up a Zoom. Hey, man, I'm out in the backyard. We got the laptop out here. Coach, yeah, you know, I got $20, half hour. Can you give them some pointers on Zoom? It'll just keep the kids having someone else looking at them to make sure that it'll demand a certain level of focus and of achievement.
Do you feel like Zoom has kind of lost its luster with the kids though? At first it was super cool. Like, well, we're doing a Zoom meeting, because I literally had to put all of their Zooms for school into my calendar on my phone.
Oh yeah.
They're just Zooming me to death. Like Cameron's got like 3 to 4 a week. Noah's got like 3 to 4. Brady's got Zooms, and they're all over the fucking schedule. Like, one will be at 10, and then they'll have like one at 10:40. I'm like, really, 10:40? And then they got another one at 12, and then Cameron's got another one at 2. And I'm like, what are we doing? What are we Zooming about? And I'll watch these Zooms, and it's just fucking chaos. It's like kids screaming, and the teacher's trying to hold it together. And I'm like, what's being constructive about here? Other than like visually seeing their classmates, I guess, which is probably beneficial, but there's really not a whole lot of teaching going on. There's not a whole lot of learning. Sometimes I'll read stories, and the kids are fucking off and they're not paying attention. And they'll mute, like someone even mute their home. And so you can hear the moms and the kids fighting, dogs barking. I mean, I'm like, can we just like start the whole Zoom meeting off by saying, hey kids, mute. And then I'll talk. And if you have something to say, unmute and then continue. But I guess I'm expecting way too much from a second and fourth grade class. Cause I'll be in the same room and I'll just be like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Now, I can't speak to any of that shit. I know that our business runs 160 Zoom meetings a week, and it is interesting to have seen them evolve. Like in the beginning, everybody's trying to figure out what the fuck it is, and at this point, the teachers really do have a pretty good handle on how to do it. And you know, if you're out there running Zoom meetings, I know this is all going to end hopefully sooner than later, hopefully next week or two. But if you're still doing this, here's the trick with kids. You got to say every kid's fucking name. That's the trick.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the trick. Hey, Susie, Johnny, Timmy, Frank, Bob, whoever. I don't know if there's been a kid named Frank in 50 years, but if there hasn't been, they're.
Hey, Frankie.
Hey, yo, Frankie, where you at?
Fucking gold chains, Mrs. Johnson, you mind?
Hey, why don't you go get Sally? You and Sally, you two of you guys, come over here.
But I'll notice that Cameron's teacher does a really good job. Actually, I think the only one I haven't listened in on is Brady, because he like takes his tablet and just disappears. Probably because he's embarrassed that I'm in the same building. But their teachers do a pretty good job of like, hey, welcome to the thing, Cameron. And like you said, it involves him and pulls him in, because I put him on those things kicking and screaming now.
Oh, yeah.
For 2 weeks. They're like into it, but now they're just like, Dad, this is an hour. I'm like, hey, I know, but you could be sitting in school for 6, so give me a break here.
Well, and you know, we're doing the best we can kind of thing. I think that's kind of the you know, and kudos to teachers, man. Holy shit. It's unbelievable. The mountains that they're climbing right now, up by us. I don't know how it is by you. I know we've talked about this. It's changed a little bit by us just recently. So the school district by us now has said that, you're going to get A, B, C or pass fail. So you either get an A or B or C, or if you're getting a D or an F, they're not going to give you a D or an F. They're just going to give you a pass or fail. Okay. And so now
is that grade where the school ended? Can your grade get worse, or can it get better?
So the latest thing is no more assignments that can hurt you. Only assignments that can help you.
Okay.
So the teachers are not giving them any more assignments that can impact them negatively. I don't exactly know what that means. So the impression I get is that if they don't turn it in, there's no harm, no foul. But if they do turn it in, it's positive, I'm guessing. Yeah. So
well, I feel like that the district and our schools probably feel like they're not knuckle dragging, mouth breathing parents like myself are not qualified to teach curriculum to their children. So if they fuck up and suck at it, it's probably thinking they're probably like thinking this moron can't teach. So why should we punish the kids? So they're probably just saying, you got an A now or you got a B now, you can improve it or it can stay the same. We're not going to punish you for your dad being a moron.
Dude, can I tell you this? So Lily came up to me last week to ask her to help with math. Yeah. Which is like, she's in the seventh grade at this point. I couldn't do seventh grade math. She put a fucking gun to my head. Like, if you had a deer hunter this fucking thing with me, there's no way. Let's play the game because I'm not gonna know any of this shit. So it was so embarrassing. And I'm like, and she's in the advanced math or whatever. I'm like, I can't. I'm looking at it. It might as well be Portuguese. I got nothing. Yeah. and I'm like, call my wife. My wife comes up. She looks at it and she's like, yeah, I got fuck all. So then we call. Our friend from college used to tutor in math, and she was mad at us. She's like, no, you guys, I need time in advance to learn what this is to teach them.
It's a muscle thing. It's not just, you just can't pick up math and start reading it like it's a book. It's totally a thing that you have to exercise.
So she was disappointed in our idiocy. And so, and then about halfway through the conversation with our friend who's a tutor, Lily looks at us all and she's like, rolls her eyes and she's like, never mind, I'll figure it out.
Good. You just said that in the first place. You just saved me so much aggravation.
But I do love that the teachers are working as hard as they are. I mean, really, shout out to all the teachers.
They're probably doing more work now than
they are.
Because just the organization of all these meetings
is they are.
Be painstakingly.
Well, you got to think, right? If you've been teaching for, let's say, 10 years, right? Then you know on the third Wednesday of the second semester, you're going to be teaching XYZ. You've done it 10 times, and you've done it for 10 years. You've done it six times a day for 10 years. You know what's up. And now all of a sudden you have to totally move all that shit online and try and find a way to have an online program. It's insane what they're doing. I'm so impressed with them, man. Yeah.
I mean, like any profession, to take your profession out of its natural habitat and then
put
it in an unfamiliar habitat and then say, here, run it just as effectively, I wouldn't even know what to do.
No, it's madness, man. It really is. So as we head toward the summer here, what do we think is going to happen? I mean, are we letting the kids go play with other kids? We haven't got much guidance here in the Golden State. We're keeping it pretty tight. I don't know what are you guys hearing in Nevada?
They have effectively, like I think today, like they've kind of reopened the state. So I mean, we could have opened our business today to the public, but we're choosing not to. I think we're going to either do it on Thursday or the following Tuesday. Of course, they've mandated that everyone who works there is wearing a mask and gloves, and we're only opening to 50% capacity. But like salons and everything, they're all open.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, it's kind of freaking me out. Like, I feel like, you know, because they didn't see the spike they were expecting in those three states down south where it was already warm and balmy, that they're like, okay, now, like you said, everyone's feeling the pressure to follow suit and just open it up and let's roll the dice and see what happens.
Well, I mean, your state especially, I mean, Nevada's just pure tourism. No tourism, no money. No money, no honey. That's just, you guys are in it up to your eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the pressure's got to be absolutely bananas.
Yeah, and I can't even imagine the pressure that Sisolak is under from just the casinos and the gaming
community. Right?
I mean, they run the state, so they're probably, like, been up his ass since day one. Like, what are we doing?
What do you think? It's a two-tier thing? Like, we've talked about this on this podcast. Like, I want the federal government to come out and say, okay, if you do X, Y, Z, you can't be sued. Mm-hmm. That's where I think, and if I were running a freaking casino, I would demand before we open, I would demand that the federal government, I'd be on the phone with Mitch McConnell's office every single day. Like, hey, buddy, we donate to you and everybody that keeps you in power. You need to come out with legislation that indemnifies us. Because can you imagine? I mean, you imagine what's going to happen if all these casinos open up and then they turn into like hotspots?
I mean, and just in the way it's constructed, it's a hot spot. You have all these people in there from all over the world, breathing recycled air, sharing space, no ventilation, really, what to say, whatever. I mean, that's like breeding ground for this shit.
And that's that to me, like, it's funny because I've been married for 18 years. I haven't made a decision since 2002. I don't, I'm not worried about all that shit because I know that there's no way in hell I'm going there anytime soon.
So, I mean, for me, what I'm doing and my advice would be to, I think it's where you live. It all depends on where you live. If you live in a big city such as New York or Los Angeles, where, you know, there's a lot more people, there's a lot more congestion, there's a lot more chance of coming into contact with more people. You would have to do what you feel is comfortable for your family, for your kids. For me here, we're a little more spaced out. We've got about 500,000 people here. We are slowly releasing the reins. We're letting them play with the kids in the neighborhood a little bit. Just to, you know, we do have some neighbors that they have a lot of people over. So we're kind of like, you know, don't play with them. We've kind of quarantined them ourselves, not rudely, but we've just kind of not playing with them. Just wait until, you know, a couple months. But we have neighbors that we trust and we know them really well and they know us really well that we're like, you can go over here and you can play there. You can go over here and play there. You guys can go to this part. You can go to this place and play there. So in my opinion, you just have to kind of read the situation and go from there.
Yeah, up by us, this has been the week where it's kind of cutting loose. Like everybody's kind of going, you know what, we're fucking tired of it. And they're letting their kids play with other people's kids and everybody's starting to get together a little bit. And it's really interesting. It's an interesting exercise in human psychology, right? You spend so much energy and effort making sure people understand the gravity of what this is. And how do you do that? You scare the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Then how do you unscare them? Unringing the bell is its own exercise. I mean, that's hard. I mean, there's going to be a percentage of people who are going to be, you know, naturally a little bit contrarian and, hey, you know what? I wasn't into it in the first place. Fuck it. I'm out. But there's going to be people like my wife who, I mean, you're going to have to come to her with graphs.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? You're going to have to come with her at her with data stacks before our kids are allowed out of this house. Like it is.
Has she like, have you spoken to her about this? Like, hey, you know, summer's coming. They want to reopen the state. Da, 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 da. What is her initial like reaction?
Well, we've talked about this before. My wife is in love with Gavin Newsom. And, if old Eddie Munster pulled up in front of the house here, she'd go ahead and she'd wish me and the kids well, but we'd never see her again. So the, whatever he says is what goes. So, I think if I were to guess, until he comes out with guidelines that are very, very, very specific on how this is going to go, we're not making a move. That's it. In Newsom we trust up in here. That's just how this is going to be. And you know, I'm not. It's not worth the fight to me. So,
yeah. I mean, so, it's
happy, like, happy wife, happy life. What's that?
Do you want to die on that hill?
This is not the hill I want to die on. You got that right. So we'll see until Gavin Newsom says something. Until then, and my daughter, my 13-year-old's getting pissed because her friends are all starting to hang out all the time. And, you know, and so she's like, well, okay, so-and-so and such are hanging out, such-and-such, so-and-so and blah, blah, blah are hanging out. And Aaron's like, well, no, you're not doing it because we're not allowed. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how this all shakes out.
Yeah, and my kids are still like really, they're young enough. Like Brady's 11, so you know, they can still entertain themselves. They have some kids to play with, so they don't have that, you know, like I'm sure if Lily's got the FOMO, she's just missing out. She's like, "Oh, my friends are doing this without me." But
oh yeah.
So, yeah, I know it's interesting that there's really been no more questions about like what is it? How's it affecting us?
They've moved on from that shit.
Yeah, they've moved on.
Yeah, that's the beauty of being a kid, right? And they're like, hey, what's coronavirus? You're like, well, it's this thing, get you sick and blah, blah, blah. And some people it doesn't bother and other people's it kills. So we got to do this, that, and the other thing. And they're like, well, all right.
Yeah,
that's go play.
The kids have mind work. Like, talking about it today with Cameron, and he's 7, and all of a sudden he was talking about Black Widow spiders. He is more interested in where they lived and what they do and how they're going to affect him than this pandemic. You know, he's like, Daddy, can Black Widows do this, this, and this? I'm like, look, dude, they don't want to mess with you. They could be in your house. They could not be. So yeah, he's over. He's moved on.
It's the beauty of being a kid, man. It really is. Well, let me ask you another question here. What do you think about this potential meat shortage? What do you think? I know you went, if I recall correctly, you went and spent $7 million.
$7 million. Well, you know, I feel like Matt is a pretty well informed person. He's educated. He's an educator.
And shout out to Matt Vaca.
Yeah, he's always got, you know, articles and information. So whenever he throws something across our thread, I take a little extra time to read it and digest it and take it to heart. So we may have went to the store and bought some meat. But apparently the whole shortage is going to come from not from the farms and not from the slaughtering. It's from the packing.
Yes,
and
yeah.
I guess it's only a few major corporations or major distribution companies that are really going to affect it. So as of right now, I don't really think there's going to be a big shortage. I did read that Wendy's has officially taken beef off their menu in a lot of majority of their locations because their commitment to keeping
fresh, never frozen.
So they can't get frozen. They don't supply frozen meat, so they've taken it off. Now they're only offering chicken. So I guess you're starting to see that, but every time I go to the store, there's no shortage of meat. Just
yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
So
yeah, I'm wondering if the meat deal is going to be more like the toilet paper deal. Like, oh my god,
yeah,
grab all the toilet paper.
But I mean, I've read articles that there's a potential for a supply chain shortage here in the near future. But I mean, as of right now, I haven't seen it.
Well, it's another one of those things, right? So the upside of corporate America is that we can consolidate and get more out of less and all that. The downside is though that those bottlenecks can really happen in a handful of places, as opposed to 30, 40 years ago, you would have had literally dozens of packing houses that are doing what two are doing now.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's just a volume thing. So you got two packing houses that go down. It's a huge impact.
And I think one of them is Tyson. Tyson's the one that's the big one there, and fucking they had 3,000 cases in a factory. I'm like, well, what the fuck is going on there?
No, that's just bananas, right? Well, I think it's the nature of the work. I mean, you're on top of each other,
yeah.
And you're moving and well, that's the stuff, you know, trying to figure out what industries are going to be really impacted. It seems that if you're working close and kids wise too, what activities are going to be impacted? Like, can you imagine what football practice is going to look like after, you know, for this coming season? I mean, you remember we played football. You remember that pipe that was attached to the hose that everybody would suck on? I mean, you remember that?
There was six hoses and everyone just sucked off the same hose. Oh,
just disgusting, man. And the things
that the athletics has moved out of the stone ages of doing that. I mean, they don't do the gashers anymore. So I'm assuming they probably are not sucking off the same hose unless they're
probably not. But I mean, what's football practice going to look like? You know what I mean? Like what's,
oh man, like I still have yet to hear, I paid for sports for winter and have not gotten reimbursed. And I paid for sports into spring and they're saying we're still going to commence, but we have no schedule. And here we are sitting at fucking, what is it? Are we in May?
We're in May, my man. May the 9th. Saturday, May 9th, day before Mother's Day.
Oh, I've still yet to get any information. I get emails saying we're still doing this, this, and this. I'm like, well, what's that look like? My
right.
son signed up for football. My other son signed up for soccer. And there's no plan. There's a lot of emails with no information. They're just talking in circles, which I think they're just trying to keep us at base. We don't keep trying to ban our money back. But, you know, it's just right. not cheap.
No, of course not. And it's funny, you know, that's we're in a business like that. So and they, you know,
are they going to play soccer with masks and gloves on?
That's the question. What is it going to look like?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
Nobody's come down with any guidance. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not really comfortable letting my kid. I mean, I'm not paranoid, and I'm not my we talk about when we talk to each other our paranoia level being between 1 and 10. I'm like, maybe like a 3 or 4.
Sure.
But when it comes to like running around on a football field with 21 other kids or soccer with another 10 or 11 kids. Like, I don't know your kid. I don't know where your kids have been. You know, those things are real, real concerns.
Well, I think that's the question right now to me is how, and I feel like we've almost given up in a weird way. Like, I don't know that there's an actual plan coming out of the federal government, but I mean, I just don't feel like there is. I feel like they're like, well, we're going to go ahead and accept that we're going to have another 20,000, 25,000 people die, and we'll see what beyond that. We don't know.
We'll consider it a great success that, you know, 80,000 people are dead and 20 million people lost their jobs in 1 month.
I just don't know what the plan is going forward. Like, I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding. Like, you need to be able to convince a huge chunk of the public that it's safe. And how do we do that? Is it contact tracing? Is it a vaccine, which we're not going to have for another year? Okay. What is it? But I mean, that's, I feel like if you want moms and dads, if you want the Karens of the world to know, to be comfortable spending their money and taking their kids someplace, you need to come up with a real plan. And I don't feel like anybody's doing that right now. So I'm, you know what I mean? That's my frustration with all this stuff.
So that's like, you know, we were talking about this earlier, like what do theme parks look like opening up with, I mean, how, I don't know.
And
that's a scary thought too. Like you're going to run around and think, what does Disneyland hold? Like maybe 20,000 people. You're going to run around 10,000 people and feel safer.
And how do they, I mean, is that even, does it even make sense for, well, I guess we're going to find out, right? Does it even make sense for Disneyland to be open if there's only half capacity? I mean, I guess half is better than none, but I mean, how much? I really don't know.
What do they say? 50% of something is better than 100% of nothing?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And like the accounting gets real creative if you're knocking off the whole damn thing, I guess. But shit, I feel like there's no real plan. And I know that we have the technology to do the contact tracing. And I just don't feel like anybody's even interested in trying it.
I think, did you say this? But I honestly feel like our federal government has just kind of said, like, look, we don't have the mental capacity to come up with a plan. So we're going to leave it to your state and local governments.
That's what it feels like to me. It feels like they've thrown in the fucking towel.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of flabbergasted because the rest of the world isn't doing that.
No.
The Europeans, the South Koreans, the Chinese, they're not doing that. They're doing all kinds of shit. So I don't know. So, well, at any rate, hopefully we'll figure some damn thing out. Let me ask you a question unrelated to whether or not our government pulls its collective head out of its ass. What are your feelings about how to make sure that you're not going to be gaining the Corona 20? Let's talk about what goes on in the Pratt House, because what you guys are doing is better than what we're doing in the Flippo House.
But it's you know, here's the thing. Like people say, like, and they like talk to, like, you know, I have now, like, I have, you know, Braswell and his household, and I got my brother, and there's probably at least 7 or 8 people that I'm like now actively like trying to, and I hate to use the word mentor because I don't have a foolproof plan, and like, I'm not like over here.
But you're trying to help people. You're trying to help the people, Ray.
Yes, trying to help the people. My thing is, if you're just...
For those of you who've never seen Ray Pratt, Ray is about 6'4", 6'5", very tall, good-looking Nordic man who is in better shape at 47 than he was at 22.
I'm almost 48? 49, almost 49.
Oh, my God. So he's... I'm convinced I'm still 40. I think we're both living in... I'm living in fantasy now. It's not your fault. Ray is in insane shape. And his ex-wife Jenny is a beach body instructor, so they are doing all of the good things. So what are the good things?
The good things are is one of the main things is just staying active. We have to be active. My schedule's insane, so I wake up at 5 o'clock mostly just for the peace of mind to have like an hour or so of no kids like running around screaming, throwing stuff, feed me this, Noah's doing this. So I'll wake up, have a cup of coffee. And then I exercise roughly for about an hour, hour and a half. But I just feel like the secret is you find something that works for you and you just follow it. And what it all comes down to, and I find people fail so much, is they try to get, they want the results so fast, but it just doesn't come that way. You just have to accept that it's a lifestyle and this is how it's going to be for the rest of your life. And it's like brushing your teeth or taking a shower. You can't look at it as like work. I have to do this. I have to do that because you've already lost the war. So that's kind of like the mentality that I got to after I'd been doing it for a little bit. It didn't come overnight. God knows that for sure.
So tell me some things we can tell everybody. Like here are some places you can go right now,
right
online
now,
without going to the gym that you can look at right this minute that will.
Especially now, because so many people on these, like on YouTube, is a godsend for this stuff. A lot of these sites that are free, they'll all put their stuff online for free, and they've all now designed, because everything's changing, even television is changing. They're all gauging everything to being at home and isolated and quarantined. My favorite person to go to is a guy named Jeff Cavalier, and he has a thing called Athlean X. It's Athlean X. He's on YouTube. He's free. He doesn't wear a shirt. It's not out of vanity. He doesn't wear a shirt because he wants to show you the muscles and things that are working. He's putting the science back in exercise. He's not bro science. He's a professional trainer. He's trained people like, you know, Antonio Brown. He did the Mets, all this other stuff. But he breaks it down for you, and he gives you all these very fundamental moves and things that you can do in your home without weights. And they call it plyometrics. You use your own body weight, or if you have some weights, you can do that. It's all very simple. It doesn't take a lot of time. He's got like 15, 20, and 30-minute workouts. These are just all things you can do that you don't have to do for a long period of time. He's a great one. There's another guy named, it's Official Thin X. He's another guy. He's predominantly plyometrics, a lot of calisthenics. And he uses these things called resistance bands, but they're pull-up assist bands. They're not the ones with the handles. They're just bands that they're like giant rubber bands. And you can use those to work out too. And they're amazing. When I first got them, I was kind of skeptic. I was like, because I'm like weights and stuff like that. But they're amazing. Like, I rarely lift weights anymore. I just use these bands, and you get a really great workout, and you burn through them, and you sweat, and you burn calories and all that stuff. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing.
All right. Well, some stuff to check out, dads. Get on it. And you know, I this is always my point of view. Like, if your wife is looking at you a long time and it's not because she wants to fuck you, you got work to do.
Boston, all this, and a lot of people hate on this, but Beachbody's an amazing source. It's
dude, Beachbody's awesome.
You work out the numbers, it's $100 a year. You it's $8.33 a month. And they're live. You get the full library online, and there's hundreds of different workouts from, you know, you and Aaron do a lot of the Shailene stuff, which is like,
she's a mean little bitch, that one. Oh, she's terrible.
And it runs a spectrum. It runs a spectrum from pure like stretching, yoga, to all the way down to heavy lifting. And in the middle there's who just runs you into the ground with a lot of cardio and a lot of like plyometrics and Tabata workouts and stuff like that. So Beachbody is an amazing source. It gets a bad rap from a lot of our friends and stuff like that, but it really is.
I could not agree with you more. I mean, and I talk trash about Shailene because she casually does things that make my body just scream. Yeah. And about halfway through the thing that your body's like, I don't do this. Yeah. She's like casually doing it. And she's like, you're beautiful. You can do anything.
You can do anything.
But Beachbody, I can't agree with you more. It's an incredible thing. And do it with your wife. Do it with your girlfriend. Do it with the mother of your children. Who gives a shit?
It makes it so much more easier and fun if you're doing it with someone that you enjoy with, because you push each other. Like there's so many times I will wake up and I'll come downstairs and I'm like, it's not going to do it. And then Jenny will walk in and she's dressed and she's ready to go. I'm like, fuck. And then I start
motivated.
Like, I can't sit there and watch her do this because I'll feel like the last one. And I get up and do it. And then like those first couple minutes are brutal, but I'm just so happy. And one of the instructors, Sean T, who I love to death, will say, all you need to do is just push play. And once you play, you get past those first couple minutes, you're in.
You're in.
And because four or five years ago, I was that person who was like 240 something. I was in the worst shape of my life. And I was like, it's just who I am. I'm 40-something years old. It's just what I'm going to be. And then I just woke up one day, and I was just like so pissed off at myself because I was doing such a cop-out, and I was just taking the easy way out. And I just started pushing myself. And since then, I just haven't kind of – it's been 4 years.
Hasn't looked back. Let me give you a pro tip, dads. If you're going to do any beach body stuff with your wife or your girlfriend or significant other, have them in front of you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you why. Anything that's cardio-based – is going to be, or it's dance based, they're going to be better at it than you are. So what you want to do is have them in front of you and a little bit off to your right or left.
Yeah.
So that you've got room, you got room to do the job, but when you bitch out for a minute, they don't see it.
They don't see it. and if they're bitching out with you, then it's kind of like, yeah, you know, we're here. We're here together.
We're bitching doing out together, but keep them up front. Keep my friend. And it gives you something nice to look at while you're doing the work.
Why do you want? I wouldn't want to look at a fireplace. I'd rather, you know.
I'd rather look at it. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. All right. Last thing we're going to talk about, the top five places to take your family on a vacation by car, because going on an airplane sounds like a metal death tube. Ray, what do you got? Top five places to take your family by car.
And we're assuming that these places are safe to go to. And
yes, all that. Assuming you're allowed to go there, and assuming that they're open for business, kind of, sort of, maybe.
Amazingly, number one for me is Monterey and the Carmel Valley. I'd been there until about 5 years ago. We took the kids.
So gorgeous.
To visit some family friends who live in Pebble Beach. Yeah, they're loaded. This guy invented something for the military and sold it and just basically retired off it. So we went there.
If you're living on Pebble Beach, you're doing just fine.
In Monterey, you got the aquarium, you got Cannery Row, you got the Carmel Valley, you got the ocean. Everyone there is lovely and friendly. The weather's beautiful.
You got Asilomar Resort if you want to go someplace up in the mountains there, right overlooking. It's amazing. It's incredibly beautiful.
Yes. I would say number two for me would be Lake Tahoe. If you're anywhere, I would say we're driving anywhere from 5 to 6 hours is a good drive.
You can do anything you want. Sky's the limit.
Lake Tahoe, can't beat it. The water's a little cold, but once again, one of the most majestic scenic places on the planet. Thousands of miles of trails. You can do the Tahoe Rim. You got casinos, which I don't know if you want to jump on those right away, but pools, lake, boating, all of it. Tahoe's got it. I would also say Cambria, which is up the coast in California. You're close to the wine countries up there.
Super beautiful.
Yeah, little quaint towns and all kinds of beautiful places to go to and have some food. Vegas, eventually.
Someday. Late
summer, you go to Vegas. Leave the kids at home. Take a couple days, mom and dad. Or you know, whatever your significant other, to go to Vegas, lay by the pool, do some gambling, get away from all this pandemic bullshit.
If there's no pandemic there, I guess we're going to find out how that shakes out.
Yes. And the number five for me is we all live, unless you're in the middle of the country, live by a beach. Any beach close to you is worth a drive, whether it's a rocky beach, sandy beach, a shitty beach, whatever it is. As long as you can hear the waves crashing against the rocks or the shore, it's instantly calming. So any beach close to you, get in the car, take the kids. Don't take the kids. Make a day out of it. Get some sun. Relax. Have a cocktail or two. And there you go. There's my five, Joe. What about you?
I'm going to say number one is the Grand Canyon. It is just something else. If you've not been there, you're out of your mind. Go there right now.
The kids did go. And they're, I have to say this. I've been there a couple times. But they were over it 5 minutes into it.
That's the trick about the Grand Canyon. It's a place you stop by on the way somewhere else.
Jenny took them there. And they were just so unappreciative of just its grandeur and its beauty. And she was like 5 minutes away. They were done. They wanted to get back in the car. I'm like, it's the Grand Canyon. She goes,
you guys will never see anything this big again.
I fucking love this place because it's beautiful. Mom, can we go now?
Yeah, it's great, Mom. It's great. Can we fuck off? I three kids at the Grand Canyon, though, I'd be fucking terrified the whole time. My sphincter would be so tight. Three boys, like, oh, any of you fucking take one extra step, you're going to die.
Especially Noah, the one who likes to break and crash into things, get bit by people, and seven other kids.
God, it's fucking terrifying, but it's so gorgeous. Number two for me, Yosemite. It's unmatched. I've never seen anything so beautiful in my life.
You go to Yosemite. Do you stay in a cabin or do you pitch a tent?
I've never stayed. I've only driven through. So this would be an opportunity to stay. I think my wife's deal is anything that we're doing right now, I think has to have like an RV so that we're not going in and out of hotels. Okay. But again, nothing makes sense. None of this is science-based. This is all just terror-based. So we'll see. And then number three for me is Santa Barbara. If you've not been to Santa Barbara, oh, it's so beautiful. It's so perfect. It's just like this perfect little place. You can't even believe how beautiful it is, and it's gorgeous, and it's chill, and any kind of food you want is right there.
You know, it's really crazy about Santa Barbara. It's proximity to major metropolises, too. It's pretty close. It's not a far drive.
You know, that's a very good point you make, Ray. It's very close.
What, an hour north of L.A. or an hour and a half?
That's it. About an hour and 15 minutes, hour and 20, depending on the traffic. Not terrible. From our house, about an hour. It's lovely. Yeah. Yellowstone, I've never been, but I very much want to go to my last two are Yellowstone and Monument Valley, and I've never been, but I really, really, really want to see them both. So those are the two that I'm trying to make happen this summer.
I've never been to Yellowstone either. I want to go to Jellystone first.
I don't think they're going to let you in there because that's a cartoon. You're not allowed to go.
Is that one with Old Faithful?
That's one with Old Faithful. Yeah.
I know my geography.
Yep. You were on this. I think that's all we got for the top five places to go by car. We hope you guys have enjoyed this episode of Dad's Survival Guide. It was a pleasure hanging out with you guys. To all the moms out there, happy Mother's Day tomorrow.
Yes, happy Mother's Day. God bless you all.
And we will see you guys next week. Take care.
Be safe.